And I just want to read from Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your mercy, for your love. We thank you for this body who continues on as Pastor Mark is in sabbatical. And Lord, even as we have gains, we have wonderful things happening, we also have some losses, but they're not tragedies. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your love, and for the body of Christ coming together in unity. We ask that your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passer through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Amen. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know you'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feeling hope in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my hope, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel it hope. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternity. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs are sweet as praise, drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend. If heaven's not my home, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, hello, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. No, I can't. No, I can't feel at home.
I love you, Lord. Let's bring up that other one, hon. It's called, Oh, I Want to See Him. Look upon His face. There to sing forever of His saving grace. You're just a breath away, you know. Oh, from... I like that one that says, this is eternal life that you may know Him. So knowing God, you've already started eternal life, really. You've already begun. Here we go.
As I journey through this land, singing as I go. Pointing souls of Calvary to the crimson throw. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within. But my Lord leads me on, through Him I must win. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home and last, heaven to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him. He will give me light. Though Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, lead whatever betide. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. Oh, the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home and land, every tune. In valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there leading in the fight. With a tender outstretched hand toward the valley low, guiding me I can say as I onward go. Oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever. My voice cares all past, home and last, ever to rejoice. Cares all past, cares all past. Thank God I'm home and last, ever to rejoice.
Glory. Yay. Give you praise, Jesus. Yes, hope for the believer. It's not just getting to heaven, you know, it's a friend for life. Isn't that so good? Well, so when you deny Jesus, you're just denying the greatest relationship on the face of the earth. There's joy in the house of the Lord. House of the Lord. Here we go. We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. Because He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. Yeah. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. No, we shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We're going to shout out your praise. Oh, we shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. Cause He hung upon that cross, then He rose up from that grave. My God, He's still rolling stones away. Yes, He is! There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. I'm going to shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. My God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet.
we shout out your praise. Oh, shout out your praise. Because we were once the beggars. We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Yeah, come on.
We were the beggars. Now we're royalty. We were the prisoners. Now we're running free. We are accepted from death, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. Oh, we shout out your praise. One more time, we shout out your praise. Let's hear it. We shout out your praise.
Amen. Amen. I just had a thought that our theology is going to become experience. What we've just known about up to this point, you're going to know intimately. You know, He's going to bring it into a deeper place with us from here to here, you know. And we're going to experience His love, not just doctrinally or theologically, but emotionally and experientially. Can I hear an amen? You know, that's it. He's taken us there. God has taken us there. It's so good. And I believe it. I really know. That's true. Praise the Lord. You're good, Lord Jesus. Let's sing that one called Holy Spirit, You Are Welcome Here. I always love those sweet times where I'm not doing anything really spiritual or praying or even worshiping or speaking in tongues or anything like that. But I am just sensing the sweet presence of the Lord. He just comes to visit us, you know. He comes to make Himself known. And I just go, oh, Lord, thanks so much. You're here. You're so near. And I love your sweet presence, your sweet nearness. Amen. I hope we all experience more and more of that. Mm. Yes. Yes. He's pleased with us just because we're His children. You know, we're His.
There's nothing worth more that would ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Spirit, Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Isn't that beautiful?
There's nothing worth more that would ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of vows. When my heart becomes free, all my shame is undone.
Amen.
Our shame is undone in your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us experience the prayer of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your good. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Oh, yes. Holy Spirit, you are welcome
of God. The reason we long for the glory of God in our hearts is because he's telling you how precious you are to him. That's his view and opinion. We've been belittled, you know, betrayed, accused by the adversary, beat down. Most people are just beat down. But God's glory sees value in every person. And he wants to affirm you. He wants to affirm your worth, your value. Don't you know you're much more valuable than many sparrows? Amen. Oh, that's so good. So grateful to know that. We can rest. We can trust. I love you, Lord. Worship you, Lord. You are worthy of honor and praise. Holy. There's a song I had pulled up, and I thought it would be appropriate, you know, with Mike's passing into glory and so many others. I'm going to be singing for a a 36-year-old young man this afternoon. His memorial is at Faith Center today. But, you know, we just don't know, you know. But the song called Scars in Heaven. And I just thought we might do that one. Just kind of honor.
Open us up in a word of prayer. and just see what God does. He's here, and I appreciate that. I'm looking at all these temple sitting in the pew here where Jesus resides. So that's an awesome thing. Heavenly Father, we just lift you up. Lord, I thank you for the joy that Mike brought us through song. And Father, we also remember the loss of our brother, Mike. And he's praying for us now. He is in such a wonderful place, especially with you. The family is having a hard time because they're without Mike. But we do know that we will see him again. Father, be with Pastor as well and Becky as they are on their sabbatical for a refreshment and a renewal. Lord, those are not easy things to go through. It sounds like a wonderful vacation, but in all reality, you get 7 years of being a pastor, and you're having to reevaluate all those things that you want him to be refreshed on and renewing his mind through that process. And Lord, just continue to show him how valuable they are both to you. We thank you for the grace that they're able to do this thing. And I thank you for a church board that is very wise and supporting of this process. Lord, be with us these next 3 months and bring unity within our body and bring the body of Christ to life as usual. We thank you for your mercy and your love. With that, Lord, we give you this service and we give you our hearts to listen to your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God is good. Heavenly Father, we just thank you as we come into your word. Lord, this is not Fred speaking. You've asked me to come up and just start talking, and your Holy Spirit will do the rest. We trust you for that. We are not the end-all, but with you, we're everything. And that is an amazing combination. Thank you for the price you paid for our relationship with you. And in Jesus' name, we just ask that your word goes out and touches the heart of all the people here and into our community. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so here we are with the Holy Spirit, right? So, oh, there it is. Okay, good. So one of the things that was placed on my heart, as any time there's change in a church, unity is the first thing that Satan wants to go for to cause separation, a different way, a change. The atmosphere is a little different and so forth. And sometimes change is not always easy for us. So I really felt the Holy Spirit really moving to talk about unity and how valuable that is and what it means to him, as well as what does it mean to us. We as a people that serve Jesus want to do it his way, right? We want to do what God wants us to do. But sometimes that involves change. So in that process... So unity in itself is a neutral word, right? It can go both good and bad. So if Herod and Pilate are unified in their common scorn for Jesus, they're in unity, right? And so in that, it just lets us know that that word has some variables to it. But if Paul and Silas sing together in prison for Christ's sake in Acts 16:25, this is a good unity. It brings us together. The thing about the relationship with Jesus is that we are a body. And I think we see that more and more as we just hear the testimonies of the things that are going on. The relationships, seeing someone out in the community and then they greet each other with love or they pray for each other. Or a neighbor calling Ron by accident, meaning to call Debbie, but he had a word for her. And that moment brought her to tears. We never know what God is setting up for us. In this unity, I used to be very controlling. I'm still working on that part, not being as controlling. And it's a process. But God has brought me a long ways. You could ask Kelly. She'd be the first one to be honest about the testimony on that. But as I surrender to God, I find out he orchestrates logistics, appointments, and everything else better than I ever could. So when I feel a sense of leading to just go down to Safeway and go down this one aisle, and all of a sudden you run into someone and you're talking. Kelly always knows when I go shopping, it's usually a ministry tour, so she's not expecting me back at any hour. So anyway, there's times you just run into people, and God has aligned that up. I'm not that smart to do it to that level, but God is. And even with this process with our pastor going on to sabbatical, that's a change. He's a phenomenal preacher. I really refer to him as a scholar, which I'm not even close to that. However, God asked me to do this. I'm going to do it. But he's also asked several other people in the church. As I put the, again, I'm a scheduling kind of guy. You know, I worked for Cal Fire. We did these large fires and organized all that stuff. So as I'm lining out the 3 months, the first part, I'm going, oh gosh, we have so many positions to fill here. And the Holy Spirit in his quiet voice said, I got it. I got it. So I had to go through the little process of letting go. And he gave me the strength. And I was able to let go. And I'll be darned if not 3 days later, the whole thing's almost full. That's just our God. He does a better job than Fred does. I love that part. And I'm okay with it. Because you know what? It's a lot less stress on these shoulders that were never meant to carry that yoke. And when God says, my yoke is light, you've heard me say this before, why would it be hard? It's because Fred gets in the way, right? And so the unity in itself is very, very powerful. So eager to maintain unity. Now, this is from God's word. Paul tells us to be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4:3. The Holy Spirit is the great giver of unity. In one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13. I had the pleasure of an awesome day for the men's breakfast. And as we were going home, we were taking Art and Reuben back home and so forth. And we were talking a little bit about our upbringings. You know, my dad was a really, really hard guy with a lot of wounds in his life. Art was sharing his mom had a lot of struggles and things that she was working through. It was a real difficult time. But I think it's amazing how God can give us those backgrounds and help us grow past them. One of the agreements that Kelly and I had is that we were not going to present the sins of our family back into our own family. But that was a process. It didn't happen overnight. And it was the Spirit of God that brought that peace in our hearts that was able to give us the strength to change, right? So these things, we come broken. We are not perfect. When I was younger, in my narcissistic days, I thought, well, you present, you know, the Word of God, you throw it out there, you pretend to be real good, and all that stuff. But I found that very exhausting because it wasn't real. It was me trying to do the Holy Spirit's work, and we're never meant to do that. And we're able to come to that place where we give up little by each. But God is a gentle God. He just doesn't slam us to the floor. But he approaches it in a very methodical way, in a way that brings that unity. And when we are struggling with those pains, we can break away from that unity. But God is good to his word. He's going to bring us back. He never gives up on us when we sometimes give up on ourselves. We're pretty hard on ourselves, aren't we? All right, so in that process, you know, God wants to equip us. So he's not just going to give us an order to go out and do something without working through the process. Ron, when he does equip us, who does he use to equip us? God. Pastors, friends, people in the body, right? So Paul says that pastors and teachers are to equip saints until we all obtain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So it sounds to me like it's a process, right? We're not just poof, automatically there. And then all of a sudden, we are getting some word. I remember going to the church camp when I was 16 years old, and I've never heard the stuff they were talking about. They're sharing scriptures, and I'm thinking, why does there seem to be something attractive about that? They didn't preach at me. They didn't grab my shoulder and said, you had to believe this or else, because I was probably at that stage very rebellious, and I probably would have not done well. But they just loved on me. But one thing that was weird, it was very strange to me, so I thought, well, the hammer's got to come down here soon, because that's what was normal in our family. The hammer come down, and it hit hard, but it just didn't happen there. And then these other men in the church came alongside and started to help me and process and started doing little Bible studies with me and so forth. What I didn't realize, the pastor and his best friend were equipping me, putting time into me. And I'm just a young, 16-year-old trying to figure out life, and I was messed up just in my thought process, but they just loved on me, and they really encouraged me, and it really started to make an impact. Now that I look back, many years later, I realize, boy, those guys really invested a lot of time in me. Because I always thought, well, there's nobody discipling me. When I was young, I didn't understand what that meant, really. They were discipling me. They were investing in me. And as I got saved and turned my life to Jesus, they just kept doing that, showing me a different way that I was not used to in my household. Complete my joy by being the same mind, having the same love, being in full accordance with one mind, Philippians 2:2. Wow, that's pretty amazing. What a call that is for today's society. Are we in one mind? No, it's kind of messed up out there, isn't it? Now the sky's purple and people aren't people anymore, and it just goes on and on. Animals are more important than people. It just is bizarre. And the society is just a mess in the inner cities. Quite a challenge. So be my joy. Complete my joy. There's that joy thing. We've talked about that before. God keeps bringing us back to the joy by being the same mind. Now, do we have to agree on everything? Absolutely not. I'd be concerned if we did. But the reality is that we understand our focus on Jesus is the single mind that it brings us to. Having the same love, being in full accord in one mind, that is amazing to me. And I just really appreciate how God brings us back to that point. So as we're sharing with each other, there's another aspect that actually goes on here that's amazing, and that is the supernatural aspect. We could read books like so many other religions. We can memorize different sections. We can do certain ceremonies and all that type of stuff. But what we have that the rest don't is that Jesus sets his temple up inside of us. The Holy Spirit moves in, and he walks with us. And that's very unique, which means every one of you have the power of Jesus in you. It's kind of unsettling at times, right? Because that seems like a lot of responsibility to move that forward. But he's a gentle God, and he walks with us in a gentle way. But as we work with each other, we talk to each other, we interact, we share grief with each other, we share food with each other. All those moments are really special. More than shared truth. Of course, shared truth is very important, right? Christian unity is more than shared truth, but not less. Paul piles up the words for common mindedness in complete my joy by being the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord with one another. So there's more to it than just having common truths, right? In that, harmony. Harmony is one of those words. What does harmony bring? It brings kind of a peace, right? our lives are enough turmoil, chasing grandkids and chasing families and raising kids and so many things going on in that. Everything is to accord with Christ. May God grant you to live in harmony with one another in accord with Jesus Christ. Romans 15:5. And some of those elements in accord we see in 1 Corinthians 13, right? When God defines what love is, it's not rude, it's caring, it's not self-seeking. Now, I tell you what, in my everyday life, those can be rather challenging. So one of the things I did, and I have some cards I'll bring next week, but I have 1 Corinthians 13 on a card. And every time I get upset or concerned about somebody or something bothers me, if I read through that, it does two things. One, it reminds me who I need to be in love, right? The other part is there's power in God's word. There's power. I've tried, when I fell back from the Lord several years after becoming a Christian, I tried to use some of my own little wisdom to do it. What I found was it had no power at all. And as I got back with my relationship with Jesus and I was using the Word of God, it had a lot more power to it. Find love in the body of Christ includes a rugged commitment to do good for the family of God, whether you feel like it or not. Feelings, right? Some of our brothers and sisters have gotten more into the feelings side. And pretty soon when we chase after the feelings, we start to put aside the power of God itself. So just be cautious of that in your own life. There's times I don't feel like coming up here and preaching to anybody because I'm maybe tired or I got something else I want to go do, right? Or whether it's going to a Bible study because I'm just not feeling good about it. But you go anyway because it's the right thing to do. And then I find God blessing me afterwards. Isn't that amazing? Kind of reminds you of a parable that was said in Scripture, huh? Okay. So in that, affection. It includes affectionate love, not just sacrifice for those you don't like. It is a feeling of endearment. In other words, it's commitment. Yeah, this person bothered me, but Jesus says I need to love them, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, when I looked at that verse, I realized that sometimes maybe I didn't really understand loving myself very well, and maybe that's why I trigger certain things and take it out on somebody else. So there's a lot to that. God's always unearthing us. He's always moving our hearts. He's always touching deep down in our souls to kind of clean out those closets little by each. But he does it with love. Love one another with brotherly affection, Romans 12:10. Now, I don't know for guys, it's probably not as easy. I think the women do a really fantastic job in this area. The guys, we're a little more thick-skulled. There's a few of you out there that'll blow my mind, though. You are very affectionate. And I appreciate seeing that because that encourages me. Love one another with brotherly affection. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Wow. Souls by your obedience to the truth. In other words, our commitment, right? We want to follow after what God tells us to do. The tender and humble hearts. For all of you have sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind, 1 Peter 3:8. Spirit-rooted, Christ-manifesting, truth-cherishing, humble-loving unity is designed by God to have at least two aims, a witness to the world and the acclamation of the glory of God. So love, is that what we see in this society right now? I think social media kind of shows us a different picture, right? It is the absolute narcissist dream, social media. And some people, I've known this gentleman for 30 years fighting fire side by side. And anything I did on Facebook, And it really didn't have to be controversial either. He just decided he needed to slam everything I did. And my response back to him was, you still love me, don't you? And I think that threw him off because he didn't say anything for a long while. But he was just caught up into this frenzy of just tearing people apart. Somebody I fought fire with for 30 years, side by side. It's amazing how things like that can change. So our goal, right, in our life is to resist doing what everybody else is doing, right? And it takes a little bit. Sometimes we have to cut it off completely. Other times we got to figure out a way not to get caught up into that. Because it is, it's like a drug. And it gets you caught up in there. One other thing, we talk about affection. My brother Chris Pang back there, my Hawaiian brother. How's it? Every time I'm up here, so he'll show up just to watch, and I appreciate that. Goes to Faith Center Church, so thank you, brother. It's encouraging, lifts me up. But anyway, those things there's so many things out there to distract us. We can get overly busy, too, with stuff and not have time to spend time with somebody else. We can overcommit ourselves. We can do so many different things that can throw us off the mission of what we're called to do. But it's important to know what kind of people we are, and I think these verses are telling us what kind of people we are. It doesn't mean we're there 100%. It just means the Holy Spirit is moving us that direction. Okay, tender and humble heart. New commandment. The Apostle John makes the first of these most clear. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you love for one another. John 13:34-35. That's not enough. The world does not see very much of that. So it really stands out when you love somebody who doesn't deserve it, right? It's the guy that flies past you, almost hits you in the car. Something's obviously wrong with that person. We don't know. Sometimes our tendency is just to chew them out in the car. It could be that they need prayer because they're having a medical emergency and they're driving down the road and shouldn't be, but they're trying to get to the hospital. Or they feel like they're behind on something or somebody got hurt that they're responding to. We just don't know what's going on in their lives. And so I think a good prayer for them would be a healthy thing. Because, again, this is not just our physical world that we're living in, but we're also living in a spiritual world. And you never know where that prayer will take that person, which is pretty amazing. Okay, one with God and us. I ask that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and that you also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So this is the amazing thing that really touches my heart, is that God himself sent Jesus down on this earth to do what he did, and he became our sacrifice. So God gave Jesus all this power from his kingdom. Now Jesus does that with the Holy Spirit in us, to us. And that is the power that we have. One of the things I really touched my heart about this verse that starts coming out is, how many times do we listen to the devil's lie versus what God says? I'm guilty. I'm really guilty. Anybody else? You can go ahead and raise your hand on this one. Yeah. So we get caught up and we will put ourselves down, or, you know, because of triggers in our life from things that happen. You remember a while back we talked about those first 7 years in your life where you have no authority whatsoever. You're just born into a family that you're born into, whatever the circumstances. Then you get it reinforced from age 7 on to adulthood. And off you go on to life. And now God offers to renew our minds, which is pretty stinking amazing. So all of a sudden now we're getting hope and we're doing this thing called love that the world does not see a lot of. And it's a beautiful thing. It's changed my life completely. I know it's changed yours. And it has had a huge impact. Jesus in us. The oneness that shines with self-authenticating glory of the world to see in union with the Father and the Son, so that the glory of the Father and the Son is part of our lives. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. So that's a promise. He has given it to us, that they may be one as we are one. John 17:22. So in that process, you know, we have the opportunity to love on each other, to forgive one another. The other thing is, you know, we talked about the struggle where Satan's still trying to bash us when God gives us a word that actually gives us freedom. We need to also stand and reject when Satan tells us something that's not consistent with the word. Or we think we're telling ourselves something that's not consistent with the word. We need to make that stand and say, you know, that's not true. I'm not going to believe that. That's just not good. The glory that is owing to this, I and them and you, Father, and me. I mean, that's an amazing promise. Amazing promise that God has given to us, that he has given to Jesus what Jesus has given to us. That's pretty amazing. It does blow my mind that God that created all this universe cares about each and every one of you individually in a super amazing way. That blows my mind. That's pretty neat. Our union with Jesus, from this union with God and the glory it gives, shines something in the world may see if God gives them eyes to see. So there's another part. I pray often that there's a couple different verses that talks about seek after wisdom, but when you do seek it, do it without finding fault, because if we are looking to, if we say, God, give me wisdom, but I don't really believe you're going to give it to me, guess what? He's not going to give it to you. And so there's some responsibilities that come with asking God for things, and that is to truly believe he will answer those. And he does. It blows my mind. And I think I told you guys a while back that I had not done discipling for quite a few years. 2 years ago, I prayed, Lord, I haven't done this for a while, but would you open a door up and allow some men to come into my life so I could work with them? And the next day, I get a phone call, right? And I think I told you that story. But I was blown away by how God answers that question. That was not the only prayer I've had answered like that. Other prayers, sometimes it's not yet, or maybe no, and that's okay too. But it does blow me how he'll line stuff up. From the union with God and the glory it gives shines something the world may see. If God gives them eyes to see, God's aim for his vertical, rooted, horizontal, and glory-displaying unity is the might gather into one the children of God scattered abroad. John 11:52. So God is using us as the beacon. So when we pray for God to shine into someone's life, I think he's starting to already orchestrate people to come visit them, that will share with them, love on them, and so forth. That love just changes the heart. It touches people. When Savannah greets somebody coming into the door and treats them like family, all that stuff. Debbie with her cooking and love that comes with all that. And I really, it scatters out through everybody here in one way or another. You touch somebody in this world. And Jesus is along there with you. So you're not doing it alone. That's the part I love. The aim of such Christian unity is the glory of God. Hence Paul prays, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may be one voice, glorifying the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. Romans 15:5-7. Seek the fullness of the unity-creating Holy Spirit. Seek to be led by the Spirit and to bear the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:18. and 22 through 23. For these are the cogs in the wheel of love. If you are a stranger to the Holy Spirit, you will care little for the unity that builds. The nice thing about all the words of God is it makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? That God is here, the Holy Spirit's busy in us, and he's ready to do some work. Serving Christ, is it convenient? Brother Brian, is it convenient serving Jesus? No. It never was designed to be. I heard that. That was good. So if it's not convenient and God is working through us, probably whatever he asks you to do is not going to be convenient, right? So, and I think we all could relate to that. And so if we understand that and if we grab a hold of that, we're okay, so whatever God asks me to do is going to be inconvenient. Loving someone that is not nice to you, is that convenient? But it's what Jesus is asking us to do, right? Going cleaning up an ugly mess that someone just did. Not convenient, but we do it, right? Brian?
Not only is it inconvenient, it's always more than I can handle
myself. Oh, I love that. So what Brian said was very profound. It's usually way beyond what we can handle, and that's on purpose. And there's been several times in my life, whether it's been my career or just something I was doing to help someone out, where you go over and care for somebody and they're very sick and they make quite a mess in the bathroom and someone's got to clean up. But you clean up. Or your father's paralyzed in bed and can't get out of bed and he has to go to the bathroom. I asked my dad, I said, never thought I'd be doing this, did you? Nope. But hey, sometimes you're in circumstances. It's more than I could handle. But God had my brother and sister there and helped with it. I had a family that was praying for me through those times. So yeah, we just can't do it on our own. So we don't have to. We have the Holy Spirit to do it with us. And we got our brothers and sister in this congregation, and we've come along each other's sides more than once to help with that process. Which reminds me is that Satan wants us to be isolated. So when you don't feel like you want to call anybody, when you feel like you don't want to burden someone else, what do? We burden someone else to pray for us. Call for it. So I hope you don't mind me sharing, Ron, but you know, we did the men's breakfast and I felt a leading. Again, it's just a simple leading. I dropped Ian off at his house and I felt God just say, just drive by Ron's house. So I drive by and looking to see Chris's home, okay, and then I go over there, Ron, and I just pull up. Stopped there, and we just had fellowship in the truck for probably a half hour, 40 minutes. And it was just something we were just sharing with each other, things that God was sharing with us. And God ordained that time. It was, yeah, it was, you know, I just wanted to go home and rest, right, yeah, and it was, I mean, it's that simple, go down this way, okay, Fred will do it, but I think it's important for us to realize those moments are special, and Ron got to tell me about his neighbor calling by accident, and what a wonderful thing to hear and share, and then we were both able to pray and share those burdens. So I think it's very powerful. All right. Francis Schaeffer, for the sake of a witness to the world, seek out ways to show love for brothers and sisters across boundaries, both the kind of boundaries that should be removed and the kind of boundaries that commitment to the truth and unity in the truth forbid you to remove. Do this for the glory of God.
And then this has to do with our fellow churches and brothers and sisters at other churches, that we don't get caught up into these walls here, because quite frankly, the church is Fortuna, right? And all our brothers and sisters out there doing our same work, I'm very excited for. For our brothers and sisters out there that might be caught up in a cult or something like that, we still reach out and love on them. And I've seen people come to Christ through that process as well. So just to love on people, just because they don't think the same way we do, doesn't neglect the need for us to love them as God calls us to do. You notice Jesus didn't spend any time talking about denominations. Even in the Jewish, he always said they were his church, and they have, gosh, they got like 30-something different sects of the Jewish religion, right? God still says they're his church, so he never gives up on us, and we want to have that same heart for our brothers and sisters out there. Spurgeon says, unless I leave off loving Jesus Christ, I cannot cease loving those who love him. Show the world his love. Have a wonderful week. Show the people around you who Jesus is. Pray for Pastor Mark and Becky, and of course the Wells and the Moot family, and our brothers and sisters are here that are hurting. You know, I'm thinking of Roxanne and Calvin, thank you. My brain just went blank. And they're still suffering with a virus, so they're working through that process. So with that, thank you for the opportunity for me to come up. I didn't really want to be here, but God said do it. Okay, Fred will do it. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you for your love and commitment to his love. All right, brothers and sisters, go and do. Huh? Treats. The treats are out there. They're moved a little bit.